20th century Quaker Douglas Steere writes about how he worked with silence during meeting for worship, what they called their services on Sundays. I'll read excerpts from this description of his by way of giving us ways that maybe we can approach the silence we'll have this morning, especially if it's new to us. And I would invite you now, if you need to silence any devices that you have with you. Just we'll go pretty directly into the silence after this reading. So, thank you. Steere writes, "Our meetings are made up of a group of people gathered together in silent prayer. The first thing that I do is to close my eyes and then to still my body in order to get it as far out of the way as I can. Then I still my mind and let it open to God in silent prayer. I thank God inwardly for this occasion, for the week's happenings, for what I've learned, for my family, for the work there is to do, for the existence of God. And I often pause to enjoy God. In God's presence, I search the week and feel the piercing twinge of remorse at this and this and this. I hold up persons before God in intercession, loving them and seeing them with God. I hold up certain social situations, certain projects. I hold up the persons in the meeting and their needs as I know them to God. But again and again, before I get through this far in prayer, my mind has been drawn away by some distraction. Someone has come in late. How noisy the cars are on the highway today. The wind howls around the corner and rattles the glass in the windows. Do these interruptions destroy the silent prayer? Well, there was a time when they did, and there are times still when they interfere somewhat. But for the most part, I think they help. Sometimes I pray the distraction directly into the prayer. When I have finished these inward prayers, I quietly resign myself to complete listening, letting go in the intimacy of this friendly company and in the intimacy of the great friend who is always near." Someone asked another how long he ought to pray and received the answer, "Long enough to forget time." One might say of one's own prayers that they ought to be persisted in only long enough to be superseded by something that takes a person beyond them. Let me just read that again. One might say of one's own prayers that they ought to be persisted in only long enough to be superseded by something that takes a person beyond them. It is so much more important that we be prayed than that we pray. And yet the latter has been found to be a frequent preparation for the former. So I invite you now to find a comfortable position in your seat. And I will open and close our time of silence by striking the singing bowl 3 times. Scripture gives us examples of times when people heard God speak to them during a time of silence. We think of the boy Samuel hearing a voice call him by name when he was lying on his bed, and of Elijah, like in the children's time, after the wind, earthquake, and fire, hearing the sound of sheer silence in which a voice calls him too by name. As we approach our congregational sharing and prayer time, I want to read one last brief excerpt from Douglas Steer regarding ways we may be led during times of silent prayer. In prayer, the seeds of concern have a way of appearing. Often enough, a concern begins in a feeling of being personally liable, personally responsible for someone or some event. With it, there may come an intimation that one should do some little thing, write a letter, speak to some person, make an inquiry into a certain situation, send some money, send a book. Or it may be a stop in our minds about some pending decision, or a clear directive that now is not the time to rest, or an urge to stay home when we had been meaning to be away. It may be that no more than this will be given us, but this seed is given us to follow, and if we do not follow it, we cannot expect to see what may grow from it. Seeds, not fruit, are given in prayer, but they are given for planting.